What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning. You all right? How are you doing this fine morning? Guten Morgen. Buenos dias. Harry, I'm joined by little Harry, my producer. How are you, Harry? You all right?
Hi, yeah, I'm good.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Thank you for joining me. You are watching Breakfast with Bo, colloquially known as The Bo Show. Bo's Breakfast Club, the BBC, the Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club. Thank you for joining us. You are the glorious band, the chosen few. Oh, lovely cup of tea. We few. We happy few. We band of brothers. All right, let's just get straight into it then, shall we? The news, what's going on today? What's the corporate legacy mainstream media talking about today? What's the world banging on about Wednesday morning, the 28th of January in the year of our Lord 2026? All right, half measures and fake jobs for sale. So the Mirror, let's just jump straight into the Mirror. There's the beautiful Princess of Wales there, Kate. She opened a rugby club. She had her hair down. I like to wear my hair down when I can. And it was a bit windy, so she put it in a plait. Like impromptu. Herself. That's all over the front pages today. Important stuff. Important stuff. Okay. Labour's pub rescue. Fallout. Half measures. Cutting business rates and World Cup opening boost. But landlords say it is not enough to save them. Well, yeah, so the government put up business rates, just how much it costs to sort of own a business physically. And then they cut it a bit for a couple of years for pubs. This is the story. But not loads of other hospitality things like restaurants and cafes and hotels and things. But for pubs, and they're saying that even that's not enough. I mean, it is a bit like, you know, you tax someone a massive amount and then at the last minute drop it down a little bit and go, there you go. Be grateful. It's like, no, that's not right. That's not how it works. That's not fair. That's the who do you think you're kidding with that? But there you go. She has decided to give a little bit of relief for a little while, frozen for 2 years, I think it was, just to pubs. But even that, even given that, they're saying loads and loads of pubs will still close. And as for the rest of the hospitality industry, which is already taxed up the wazoo, yeah, it's going to be like disastrous because a lot of these places, most small businesses, in fact, of any strap, the margins will be tiny. Your profits will be very small with the best one in the world. So any sort of tax hike or rates hike or anything like that could be the difference between you going out of business or not. They want to destroy the high street. They do. It's very, very clear to me. Very, very obvious. Particularly pubs, if anything. Despite these half measures. Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? They socialists hate sort of small businesses, medium businesses. They hate small businesses. They hate people owning anything, really. The state should own everything in their mind, in their world, in their ideal world. Even sort of wishy-washy pinkos. They still think that. It's still part of their sort of core worldview. Is that any real ownership, private ownership, is bad. You know the old thing. It's almost a trope, isn't it? It's almost a cliche that the left say. You'll own nothing. Yeah, that's what leftists want. That the state owns everything. Including you and your children. They own you. Right? They can move you around as they see fit. Because they've all got some sort of Mao complex. Some sort of Stalin complex. Leftist, so gross. The Eye Paper, let's move on. The Eye Paper. Pubs U-turn to save Britain's local pubs, from extinction, but no help for restaurants facing April tax hikes. Yeah. The eye paper is quite good. On the front page, they give you an extra little bit of blurb, which really covers all the main points of the story. So I'll quickly read this. Reeves gives pubs and music venues 15% off their business rates. The business rates are already through the roof, thanks to them. So it's not being particularly magnanimous or like really generous, really. Oh, I'll steal £100 out of your pocket and give you £15 back. Oh, thanks. okay, so for and music venues, 15% off their business rates, which will then be frozen for 2 years, not very long, to save, quote, huge community assets, quote. We probably won't save them, though. And it's deliberate, it's by design. But she risks backlash from other hospitality firms, such as hotels, restaurants and cafes, which are excluded from the temporary extra support. Diners and travellers expected to face price increases, just the customer, for food and drink and hotel rooms to offset higher property taxes coming in April. Yeah, so if you're like a small business and they do this, the only way you could cover it, often, not always the way, but often, the only way they can cover it is just simply charge the customer more. But then that was likely, isn't it, to make less people patronise you, come and use your services and buy your things, because it's more expensive, so less people do it. So your profits still go down anyway. Labour MP Rachel Maskow says that many small businesses still face closure. Well, yeah. When your profits are tiny, any little thing can destroy you. Okay, the Daily Mail. Daily Mail. There's a picture of what? Nicole Kidman and Anna Wintour there. I don't know if any of you are aware of who Anna Wintour is. She's like the most important person at Vogue magazine. I think she's gross on every single level. A gross human being. Something that's an indication, a symptom of what's wrong with the world, Anna Wintour. And yet she's sort of as royalty in sort of fashion circles. She's sort of the most important, most powerful person in fashion. Reeves puts nail in coffin of High Street and sends a junior minister to Commons to reveal betrayal of pubs, hotels and small shops. So yeah, Rachel of Accounts, didn't even have the bottle to turn up to Parliament and tell them herself. She just sent some little minion off to do it instead. That Rachel Reeves, she's mental. I think she's like a bit mental. She's certainly not like a financial wizard, is she? She's not an economist. I don't think she really knows anything. I wonder if it'd be interesting to see if a true economist, you know, a professor of like a political economy, quizzed her about things, sort of 101 stuff, undergrad level economics. I'd love to see that. I wonder how well she would do. I suspect she'd do terribly. I think she's just a career politician who quite literally used to like be HR or something, or accounts or something. And was sort of handpicked because she's a woman to be the Chancellor. I don't think she's steeped in political economy. I really don't. All right. The Times, the venerable Times. Fake jobs for sale to cheat system on migrant visas. Yeah, like this is new. I always find that odd when... I remember Jacob Rees-Mogg a few years back on GB News. An investigative journalist there did a piece all about how there's still loads of rape and grooming gangs. And this is like in the early 2020s at some point. I think Rees-Mogg was still an MP at that point. And Jacob Rees-Mogg was all like, oh, like feigning that he didn't know. Oh, really? It's still going on, is it? Oh, I thought... Yeah. Everyone that's not living under a rock. Anyone who's not feigning ignorance knows. Same with this fake job scams. Yeah, illegal migrants get like fiddle things so that they get visas. Yeah. Okay, it says, agents charge, agents. Organised criminals, you mean? These three gentlemen here. Agents charge up to £20,000, £20,000 sterling, a shed load of money, for non-existent, quote, skilled, quote, roles as genuine firms to fool Home Office. Yeah. It makes you think, doesn't it, that these asylum seekers, some people like to describe them as refugees, they've got 20 grand to spend. Really? The vast majority of normal people, they're sure on a good wage, or you're independently wealthy, you inherited or something. Most people haven't got 20 grand, just liquid, just in your account, ready to rock and roll. It's like the people they pay to get themselves smuggled across from Calais, like a few grand. Well, so you're not poor. So not only are you not actually fleeing a war zone or anything, you're not actually a refugee or someone seeking asylum or anything like that. You've actually got money. You've already got money. You've got 20 grand. Say you come over from wherever it is, Pakistan, Nigeria, Syria, whatever, and you've already got thousands, if not tens of thousands of pounds. Why are you coming here? Why are you coming here then? It's very odd, isn't it? If you're already wealthy, essentially. Certainly if you come from like a third world country. If you come from, I don't know, somewhere like Bangladesh or whatever. Syria. And you've got 20 grand liquid sitting in a bank account. You're actually reasonably wealthy. Why would you come here then? What, to get an Uber job? To work in Sainsbury's, stacking shelves? Oh no, it's because you're actually part of an organised crime, isn't it? And you're going to do drugs and people smuggling stuff. You buy yourself a tricked out Merc with black darkened windows. One of them. Mad. Fake jobs for sale. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, like it's breaking news. Come on. Come on. The Daily Express, oh, it's a good paper. 350 migrants arrive, but only 281 leave under Starmer's French deal disaster. Quelle totale farce. It's a total farce. So this is the story. There's lovely Princess of Wales again. Isn't she radiant? I shouldn't simp over her. It's tongue-in-cheek. I mean, she's pretty, but that's... I'm being tongue-in-cheek whenever I sing her praises. That's what the papers always do. She's the most beautiful thing ever. She's the most wonderful person ever. She literally can't do any wrong. Someone did a joke the other day. I can't remember where I heard it or saw it. But they said, if she, like, crushed a puppy, the papers would be like, wonderful Kate helps puppy into heaven. That's what they would go with. Okay. She braided her hair. Look. Scoop. Top scoop. Yeah, so this story, though, back to being serious. Starmer's flagship plan, the policy, wasn't it, is that we would send immigrants that come over, the boat people, the actual boat invaders down at the channel. He would send them back to France. But France would send us one of their sort of migrant people in a one-for-one exchange swap. How that helps, how that benefits us in any way, how that really makes any sense, how that's in the nativist interest in any way, doesn't add up. Nonetheless, despite all of that, even that is resulting in a net increase of migrants to us. So under that scheme, it says there, we sent 350 of these people over back to France, expecting 350 of them back. Oh no, sorry, We sent 280 over to France, expecting 281 back from them. So the numbers stay exactly the same. Pointless, absolutely pointless. But even that, France sent us 350 for our 281. So we just got more then anyway. So, I mean, what the F? Harry, can we go to Disdain Cam 1? What the F? Yeah, I'm calling that camera Disdain Cam. The Disdain Cam. It's mad, isn't it? It's mad. Everything they do results in us being invaded by more foreign people. Isn't it? That's a statement of fact, is it not? Okay. The Telegraph, the Daily Tory Graph. Oh, here's a story. Oh, my God. Before we get into it, there's another image of the Princess of Wales. Okay, a serious story. Starmer-led, quote, witch hunt, quote, against Iraq veterans. PM's a human rights case opened door to hundreds of soldiers being prosecuted. So this is a story. Just one more example of where Sir Queer Stalin acted as a traitor to the people. Acted as much as he could against the interests of the nation. Going years back, this is. Right, let's get into it. In fact, I saw a decent segment by Patrick Christie's off of GB News. He's my favourite there. He's my favourite GB News dude, Patrick Christie's. He did a good bit. And, okay, what it is, going back years, like to like 2007, Starmer was prosecuting our soldiers, our boys, for shootings they did in Iraq. One example is that this one particular bloke, a soldier, a British soldier, in Basra, in 2003, during George W. Bush and Tony Blair's invasion of Iraq in 2003, he was ordered to sort of enter a building. You know, we were liberating, quote-unquote, Basra in southern Iraq. He was ordered to enter a building. There was a guy in there with an AK-47, like, pointing at him. He was trained to, and it's his job to then fire on that person, which he did, and killed him. It's a war, and the guy had an AK-47. This is just one story, by the way, of many. And then he was put up on... There was an investigation, because there would usually be an investigation into any sort of shooting, any sort of, and he was put on... There was, like, multiple investigations, I think five different investigations, two of which sort of went to trial, and he was found innocent. He was found that it was, like, a lawful thing. It was a lawful killing. Okay, twice. Then Keir Starmer opens it up again, starts it up again. The guy, this one particular guy, is then hounded for like 10 years, the next 10 years after that. Eventually exonerated of doing anything wrong. Okay, so that's just one example. But that opened the door, as it says there, opened the door, you know, sets a legal precedent that loads and loads of other people in very, very soldiers in very, very similar situations can be prosecuted. I.e., to put it another way, just completely undermining us and our efforts. And, like, what would you... Another detail which is infuriating is that he did it free of charge. No charge. Because there's this thing, he was the head of the CPS, right, the Crown Prosecution Service. Queer Stalin was. And before that, he was just a lawyer, a prosecutor, you know, a senior one, you know, he's had a stellar career. You know, he did things like, oh, I don't know, went to the European courts and argued in favour of Hizb ut-Tahrir, an Islamist terrorist organisation that previous governments had proscribed. And he argued in Europe that that prescription should be lifted. Brilliant. Cheers, Sir Keir. Thanks for that. You know, argue in favour, defend Al-Qaeda people and IRA terrorists. Sure. Why not? And there's this thing called the cab rank rule. You know, like a cab rank of taxis. They all line up. The taxis line up. And whoever wants a taxi, always you have to go to the front one, the front taxi. And that's what you get. And then they all shuffle up. And the next person comes on. So, in other words, if you're the taxi driver, you don't get to pick. You just wait in line until it's your turn to get a customer. You don't pick the customer. Right? There's the cab rank rule. They say that about lawyers, right? Often lawyers for the Crown Prosecution Service. State lawyers, prosecutors, defenders and stuff. They say it's a cab rank rule. I don't get to pick and choose who I defend. Don't blame me for defending an Al-Qaeda suspect. It's the cab rank rule. It gets given to me. I've got no choice. Not always, and not in this case. Starmer chose to do this for free. What are you doing, mate? What do you think you're doing? What are you thinking? Well, what he's thinking is anything that undermines Britain, really. He hates Britain. Hates us. Hates soldiers. Hates the national project on every level. That's what he's thinking. That's who he is. And that was Prime Minister in China making deals with the Chinese. Brilliant. Allowing them to have a super embassy and all that stuff. I mean, if it's not clear, like, who Sir Keir Starmer is at this point. A terrible man. I think a terrible person. And sort of obnoxious as well on top of everything else. Right? Like Tony Blair, the Dark Lord, as evil as he is, and I reserve that word, evil, but I truly think he is, at least he's not sort of like really, really, really annoying, you know? You know, there's certain people who are just, they're just obnoxious within moments of hearing them speak and seeing them. Like Tony Blair hasn't got that, has he? But Starmer, there's something about him. All right, what else have we got? Let's have a look at The Guardian, the Steyncam. The Guardian, gross. Makes me want to throw up. The Guardian. Mass murder, quote, it's mass murder. Medics reveal grim reality of Iran's hidden death toll. This is an interesting front page. The fact that it's in The Guardian. Because, of course, The Guardian, anyone doesn't know. Like, I don't make it perfectly clear every single day. They're the most leftist, aren't they? I mean, maybe the Metro is worse, but probably not, actually. The Guardian's sort of the most leftist, the most subversive, the most globalist, the most sort of race communist, the most sort of anti-white, anti-Western. All of it is The Guardian, right? But the Guardian, though, now, not very often pro-Islam, because it's anti-Western, anti-British. Even The Guardian are running with the headline that there were, in fact, a massive death toll in the Iranian protests recently. There you go. Deaths estimated to exceed 30,000 after surge in regime brutality. That's The Guardian saying it. Like they've suddenly had a change of mind. And they're suddenly like really pro-Pentagon hawkishness intervention. They're not. Of course they're not. That's not what's going on here. That's not the case. They've decided, they've made an editorial decision, that that is true, that that is accurate reporting. Whether it is or not, I don't know. But The Guardian are going with that. Interesting. I mean, I remember, like a week ago or more, even the regime themselves admitted that something on the order of 2,000, or was it 3,000? Good couple of thousand had been killed in the protests. That's the regime themselves, so... So there's no doubt that it's on the order of thousands. At the very least, low thousands. The Guardian, and I've seen it in other places at the moment, today in the news, that it's 30,000. That is, of course, obviously, goes without saying, a giant number, isn't it? I mean, it was what Trump had warned the Ayatollah not to do, wasn't it? You know, Trump and State Department could probably turn a blind eye to a few dozen, even a few hundred. If you're doing thousands, tens of thousands, it's exactly what Trump said, don't do, otherwise we'll get involved. And there is a carrier group heading to the Gulf of Oman. The USS Abraham Lincoln carrier group is steaming its way to the shores just off of Iran, as we speak. There you go. There you go. I shouldn't laugh, really. It's a nervous laugh, that one. That was a nervous laugh. I mean, watch this space. Will Trump give Hegseth the nod? Hegseth comes to Trump. We've got 5 plans, sir. One's like carpet bombing, one's dropping the big one on Tehran. And everything's down to Like one Tomahawk cruise missile in the desert somewhere. We've got 15 plans. We've got 15 plans, sir. What are you going to do? Trump languidly casts an eye over them. That one, go. We'll see. Okay. PM realistic on threat ahead of trip to China. Is he? Is he realistic? Or is he just completely their poodle, their puppet? What do you mean realistic? Isn't it? Government row over plan to cut PE spending. Now you might think, oh, what does PE stand for? Is that something highfalutin, some big sort of, you know, a shorthand for some big economic set of structures or something? No, it's PE in school, physical education. PE. I don't think Americans call it PE, do they? They call it something else. PT, physical training, maybe. Anyway, in Britain, everyone knows what PE lessons in school. Government wants to cut all of that. That article says that they've got plans. It's not happening immediately, but they've got plans to just not give schools any money, any, for PE. I guess they want kids sort of fat and unhealthy so that they live in the pod and eat the bugs and whatever and become lethargic and docile. I mean, why would you cut PE? Come on. This government. All right, the FT, the Financial Times. Okay. On guard, tensions grip Minneapolis. I mean, kind of, not really. Although Trump is reacting to it in various ways. We'll see that as we go through the hour. Trump is sort of taking the thing seriously. He really didn't like the optics of that Alex Pretty killing. I get it. When his dead body slumped to the snow, both his hands were empty. Okay, Washington links Ukraine's security guarantee to territorial concessions. It's a roundabout way of saying, oi, Zelensky, you've got to give up land. If there's ever going to be peace, you've got to give up land. You've got to give up some part of Ukraine. Okay. US accused of strong arming Kiev, pledges tied to Donbass pullout, doubt over Trump's commitment. So we had a poll. We try and do a poll daily now, don't we? At least one. And I instructed little Harry, who isn't that little, by the way. He's just littler than Harry Robinson, the giant, the office giant. I instructed little Harry to do a poll about Ukraine, what you guys think. And I'll read that out, read the results that out when I finish the front pages. I asked him to put something like, do you think Ukraine should cede territory in order to have a peace? So I'll let you know the results of that in a little bit, in a minute. All right. Let's see. The Sun. The Sun was particularly sloppy this morning, even for The Sun. So there we've got Kate. Oh, look, see, there was her hair with her hair down. But then it got windy and she quickly did a plait. Okay, Jordan, Katie Price's husband, is a lying swindler, claims two former lovers. Run for the hills, Katie. That's the front page. That's news in Britain. The Daily Star. And they're off abroad, away at the races. Almost speechless at the level of journalism, really. The Star paper themselves are doing some sort of holiday giveaway thing. And they've put that on their front page. Slop, pure slop. Okay, the Metro. the Metro. Sickening, the Metro. Absolutely revolting. Stomach turning. NHS investigation launched. 6 years of chemo when I only needed 6 months. Again, an individual story. This woman. This poor woman who got cancer, you know, it's not like I haven't got sympathy for her individual case. But she needed 6 months worth of chemo and they gave her 6 years worth. Terrible, horrible story. It's not front page news, is it? It's not a national story. So not even front page. Not even like 8th, 10th page. Certainly not the front page. There you go, that's the Metro. That's the Metro. One of the worst papers, arguably the worst paper in the land. All right, let's have a look at our poll then. Harry, could you bring that up on the screen for me? So you wrote, should Ukraine cede territory for peace? Boom, 77% of you say yes, which is my feeling. Not that I haven't got sympathy for Ukraine. I've got no sympathy for the Zelensky government, but I've got loads of sympathy for the Ukrainian people, like the individual conscripts and civilians of Ukraine that are killed and maimed in all of this. But loads of sympathy for them, of course. I'm not a monster. Then there is battlefield reality, isn't there? The battlefield reality that the Red Army... Well, that's a bit anachronistic, isn't it? That's a bit old hat. It's not the Red Army. Sorry. The Russian Army have got control of, like, the regions they want to have control of and don't look like it's possible, even with hundreds of billions of pounds of aid. Doesn't look possible that the Ukrainians can push them out of that. So that's the battlefield reality. How many years has it got to go on? How many need to die? Okay, can you bring that... It's disappeared, Harry. Can you bring it up again? Because I didn't see the other numbers. Like, who said, not sure. So 77%... Oh, there we go. 77% say, yes, Ukraine should cede territory for peace in order to get a peace. 16% said, not sure. And only 7% of you said no. I mean, again, I'm pretty much in harmony, essentially, mostly, with my own audience. We agree. It's just being realistic. It's not that... Well, I've said this before, and I've said this for a long time, actually, that take on the main podcast of the Low Season stuff. Quite often people will say, oh, you're taking money from the Kremlin. Why are you so pro-Russian? Why do you love Putin so much? It's nothing of the sort. It really isn't. I've said a number of times, I think Putin's a murderous, ruthless SOB. I'm just talking about the battlefield reality in the Donbass. I remember, I think it was the second summer of this war. And there was meant to be this big push, a big offensive by Ukraine, where they'd already had billions and billions of dollars in aid and loads of hardware. The US and other Western European countries have sent them all sorts of artillery pieces and advisors to help them to use it right, and all sorts of extra surplus tanks and all sorts of stuff. Loads and loads of material and money. And there's going to be this big summer push. Ukraine had got ready for it all through the winter and the spring. There's this big summer offensive. Came to absolutely nothing. It was at that point I was like, you're probably not going to... That was the time. You're probably not going to be able to push Putin's legions out of the Donbass. Anyway, all right, let's move on. That's 77% of you agree with me. So, good. Okay, the websites. Let's have a look at the websites. Right, BBC, they go with weirdo Stalin heads to Beijing with business leaders as UK seeks to reboot China relationship. Yeah, reboot it where we become even more subservient. Yeah. Trump says government will de-escalate in Minnesota following a Pretty shooting. Yeah, so Trump's reaction to it has actually been sort of conciliatory and contrite. He's like, he seems to be a little bit upset, even ever so slightly shaken, dare I say. Not exactly shaken. The Donald doesn't really get shaken. But he certainly reacted to it, you know, come out and said a number of times, a number of different ways, like that's not good. That's not what I intended. I don't want to see that, you know. I mean, people with Trump derangement syndrome and people on the left and Democrats and all that, they're saying, this is the end of Trump, this undermines Trump for all time, this is the stain that he'll be remembered for in history, da 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 da. No, I don't think so, nothing like that. That's unrealistic, but it's not nothing. Even though it's an individual shooting, politically, it's not nothing, and Trump is reacting to it. You know, when he got rid of that Greg Bovino, and he sent Big Tom Homan down there to sort of troubleshoot, put fires out. Sending the big guns. the big beasts. Okay, Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar attacked with unknown liquid during town hall. So I saw this, I thought, okay, let's start. I despise Ilhan Omar. But even her, I wouldn't want to see physically attacked. Certainly not like sprayed with acid or anything. No way. No. But it doesn't seem to have been acid. I mean, the story's not that old. But so what happened was this guy, member of the public, came out of nowhere. Or she was doing a little town hall, a little meeting to a few dozen people. This guy sort of comes out of the crowd, comes out of nowhere, and he squirts a little bit of liquid at her. I saw one report said he had a syringe. But anyway, you can see, like, it's only a small amount of liquid. It's not like a whole cup's worth of liquid or anything. It's a relatively small amount of liquid. And he either chucks it at her or squirts it at her. And it doesn't hit her in the face or anything. And that's it. And she was completely unhurt. And someone, like, he didn't touch her physically. One of the security guards there immediately bundles him to the ground, and the incident effectively is over. And yeah, she was completely unharmed. So, in one sense, you could say it's sort of nothing. It's a complete nothing burger. On another level, you can say, you know, it's not good. That could have been acid. It could have hit her in the face. You know? Like, that could have been just one more episode in the escalation of political violence in the United States or in the West. Not good, right? I don't want that. No one really wants that, do they? So there you go, that happened. That happened, so that's a thing in the world. All right, that storm that's going to hit Britain is still a story, Storm Chandra. Well, it's actually happening, you know, like heavy rain and flooding has disrupted travel across the UK. We're a relatively low-lying island. Doesn't take much, does it, for flooding to occur? It really doesn't, you know. We're not as bad as Holland, but our elevation above sea level isn't that high. If Greta is right, and Al Gore are right, and sea levels rise by metres, but if that did happen, loads of Britain would be underwater. Yeah, loads. Like the Thames Valley would all be underwater. We'd have to move the capital to Birmingham or something. Okay, what else we got? Let's have a look at another website. ITV News. Oh, the storm, some trees fell over. Starmer to promote a consistent relationship with China on visit. Yeah, that we're consistently their bitch. That made Harry laugh. What else? Yeah, like Trump. Trump wants honest investigation into Pretty killing as Melania urges unity. Are the Minneapolis killings a turning point at the Trump White House? Andy Burnham says, quote, it's simply untrue, quote, that he knew he'd be blocked from by-election. Okay, fair enough. Probably should have known, though. I mean, that's all very well, but got a little bit of egg on your face there, Andy. It's like you went for it. You tried to start the process of making yourself Prime Minister, and it failed at the first hurdle, basically. A little bit embarrassing politically. I mean, there you go. All right. Don't shed a tear for Andy Burnham's career. He's a douchebag. Sky News. Starmer quizzed over Burnham as he heads to China. Okay. Was there anything actually particularly interesting on Sky News? Oh, yeah. Farage and Polanski analysis. Farage and Polanski could both inflict huge damage on Labour. Yeah, I think so, yeah. Politics is becoming polarised, isn't it, in the 2020s, across the world, certainly in the West. You know, all places like Germany, Holland, France, Britain, the US. The centre ground is losing. People are going either to the right or to the left. Because we tried the centre ground, didn't we? We tried that. We tried being reasonable. We tried being centrist dads. We tried saying, just let us grill, bro. That didn't work. The left didn't let us do that. Left not happy with that. So here we are with polarisation. Blame the left for it. It's nearly always the way in history. Nearly always the way. It was the leftists. It was the communists. and the Marxist-Leninists, etc., and their pinko allies that won't let you be a centrist. They won't leave you alone. So there you go. There we go. Brilliant. Just another cycle of that. Thank you. Okay, here's a story. Again, analysis. Some serious analysis from Sky News. An immense day for the Church of England, the Anglican Church, that is. And it could be just what it needs. This woman is now, formally, officially, or is going to be today, either way, is the Archbishop of Canterbury, the highest religious office in the Anglican Church. Well, other than the sovereign, of course. The senior Archbishop, the Archbishop of Canterbury. There you go. I mean, if you just have a look at her physiognomy, you just take a glance at like her. She looks like Tubbs, doesn't she, from League of Gentlemen? Do you ever watch League of Gentlemen, Harry, or is that before your time? League of Gentlemen?
Yeah, I think that's a little before my time.
Okay, all right, sorry. This freakazoid is now the Archbishop of Canterbury. She's utterly, utterly, utterly woke to the max. Of course she is. Of course she is. So that's the church now. If you're Church of England, if you're an Anglican, well done. She's your leader now. She's your Il Duce going forward. The Anglican Church, what an absurd organisation that has become. I wonder what 17th century Anglicans would think of the modern church. I wonder what they would think. All right, the Daily Mail. What's the Daily Mail? Oh, they're going, their top story is the Ilhan Omar syringe attack. Look, he's got a syringe there. I saw a clip earlier this morning, but only once. And it's all over in like a fraction of a second or 1 second. But there you go. Clearly, he's got some sort of syringe there. Probably wouldn't squirt water, would you? Unless it's just a fake out. Unless it's just to seem a lot more scary and sinister than it really is. But he was immediately tackled to the ground. She actually goes up to him with a raised fist like she's going to throw a punch. She doesn't. Okay, man armed with a syringe attacks Minnesota Democrat Ilhan Omar as bitter fallout from, quote, execution, quote, of nurse by ICE rocks America. I wonder what his angle is, because it's not clear yet. I haven't seen any reports of exactly what he is. I assumed he was sort of the right, but I've got no idea. He might be super far left. Like, even way further left than Ilhan Omar. And he's annoyed at her for not being a lefty and traitorous enough. Or he might be a pro-Trump MAGA type person. I don't know. Like a super patriot. I don't know. Really don't know at this point. But Ilhan Omar was unharmed. You'll be pleased to know. All right. Angela Rayner warns Starmer. Must do better, as allies say she's ready to fight Wes Streeting for number 10 with PM's grip on power loosening and Burnham shut out. Yeah, the idea that if perhaps at the next local elections or after the by-election in Manchester, either or, there will eventually be full-blown proper sort of leadership contests against Sir Keir Starmer, who, if not Burnham, will step up, sort of lead that, step into the breach. A lot of people say it's the Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, or Angela Rayner herself. Disgraced ginger idiot Angela Rayner. Maybe Lammy will have a pop. Who knows? All right, let's have a look at another one. The Express. Oh, they go with top stories about Andrew. Look, he's having a laugh. He's enjoying himself. Andrew back on the market. King Charles will have his head in his hands. He don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Meghan Markle. Don't care. All right, The Sun. Yeah, The Sun's super sloppy. We'll move over this super quickly because I know the glorious band, The Chosen Few, the audience of The Bow Show, don't really like slop, but just super quick to say then, as quickly as possible, really. Run for the hills, Jordan. Your new hubby is like, he's a lying swindler and preys on women. Not my words. Don't sue me. Not my words. that's on the top of the sun there. There's been some floods in Britain because it rained a bit. Shell Hell. Michelle Keegan, I'm not even sure who she is really. I've heard the name before, but I don't even know what she is or what she's famous for exactly. Anyway, Michelle Keegan versus Essex Mums. How Freebie Holiday sparked outrage and why her next move is even more controversial. Could not care less. Couldn't care less. Oh, this dad, he had he got a filling at the dentist and it put him in hospital for a while. Gary Barlow used to be a bit fat. Read all about it. The Sun. What a joke. Okay, let's move on to the United States. Let's hop across the pond. The New York Slimes. Oh, they're going with the Ilhan Omar attack. There you go. Have we got show the clip. Will you see the moment of the attack? The very moment. Don't worry about it. It's not that important. It's not spectacular in any way. Are they going with all sorts of Minneapolis stories, as you can well imagine. The Washington Post, I had a quick look at the Washington Post this morning before the show started. Nothing. There's nothing there. There really isn't. Of any real note. Like, for example, one of their top stories is a rude exchange with staff ruined my favourite hostel, says one opinion piece writer. Let's just move over to Australia. How good are you? Australians fed up with immigration levels, Sky News poll reveals. Yeah, I bet they are. Yeah, yeah. Because they're further down the road than a lot of other places. Absolutely flooded by enemies. Foreign enemies that mean to destroy the fabric of Australian society. Voters across the political spectrum have expressed a desire for major immigration cuts, with big reductions preferred even among left-wing voters and non-English-speaking households. So everyone, even like second-generation immigrants or whatever, or even first-generation, even lefties, even champagne socialist types are like, yeah, but it's crazy though. It's all very well to virtue signal about how nice and good we are, but it's crazy. It's absolutely ridiculous. You've changed Australia so profoundly. We're so much less safe, apart from anything else. That's what our enemies always say. Oh, you just hate brown people. You just can't stand to be around, near, or see people with brown skin. It's a bit more than that, right? It's that the very fabric of your society has been ruined. You don't live in a high trust, low crime society anymore, when not that long ago you did. 5, 10, 15 years ago you did, and now you don't. That's the real issue. That you can't let women in your family go out after dark on their own. Because you can't guarantee they won't be the victim of a sexual assault or whatever. Am I making that up? Is that crazy? Is that a far-right fantasy? You know I'm telling the truth about that. Okay, ABC retracts wild ICE agent, quote, murder, quote, claim by star reporter Laura Tingle. Don't know who Laura Tingle is, don't care. Top imams demand end to terms like radical Islam. Oh, do they? Oh, do they? Yeah, I bet they do. Do you remember one of the things that opened my eyes about Islam, and this is going back years and years now, is there was, I already knew this, but it really sort of drove it home to me. Years and years ago, there was the story of the Danish cartoons. Anyone remember that? It must have been in the very early 2000s. And there was a Danish cartoonist who had drawn some incendiary images. He dared to actually depict the Prophet Muhammad. Blessings be upon his name. He'd done some drawings. I think maybe did he draw a bomb? He drew a picture with Muhammad whose hat was a bomb or something. I can't even remember. Anyway, there's loads of protests all across like the Muslim world and things, and in Europe about it. They were so outraged. And then anyway, after it all died down and when it was happening, imams would come out and be given time on TV. And the imams would come out and say, okay, this is what it is. It's happened. And some people would die in these protests as well. Right, and the imams would come out and say, but let's make sure, the most important point out of all of this, the lesson that everybody, the whole world should learn out of this, is never do it again. Yeah, your freedom of expression is sort of at an end, as far as we're concerned, in our minds, if we had our way. That's the overall meta point about all of this. I remember thinking that. I remember seeing that and thinking, really? This is what it is now? This is the paradigm? This is the deal, is it? You know, the Charlie Hebdo stuff, the Charlie Hebdo massacre. Lots and lots of imams and Islamophiles, one way or another, whoever they are, will come out and say, it's terrible, we condemn the killing, and blah, 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 blah. But let's make sure, but Charlie Hebdo were in the wrong, though. But Charlie Hebdo, you know, brought it upon themselves, though, ultimately. And don't do that again. Again, Charlie Hebdo, a French paper, if you don't know, French magazine, satirical magazine, that had dared to print similar things. Poking fun at Islam and the Prophet. Two guys went in there with AKs and killed loads and loads of people. They're like, yeah, we condemn the killings, but don't do it again. You did bring that on yourself. I mean, so in Australia, top imams demand end to terms like radical Islam. All right. Australia's peak Muslim body, I don't know what peak Muslim body means, have demanded an end to terms such as radical Islam and extremist Islam, after former Prime Minister Scott Morrison called for reform in the wake of the Bondi massacre. Yeah. That's what it is. That's what we're dealing with. How don't you know that yet? If anyone, I mean, most of the Bo Show audience will be fully aware of all of this already, I'm sure. But you've got a lot of people with still their head in their sand. Head in the sand. I know people, IRL. Like, just normal people that aren't politically aware particularly, and they haven't got a bad bone in their body, and you'll say something like, you mention something like this, or talk about what I just said about the Danish cartoons or Charlie Hebdo, and they're quite almost literally going, no, like they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the concerns, the danger baked into it all that we're facing. Particularly because of mass immigration, have got no choice but to face at some point. They just don't want to hear it. They just want to, quite literally sometimes, like, just change the subject. You won't be allowed to change the subject at a certain point. They won't let you change the subject. All right. We've only got a few minutes left, so should we quickly flip through? There wasn't much in Japan. They talk a lot about South Korea in the Japanese news, I find interesting. Well, obviously, and they're right next to each other. They're essentially neighbours, aren't they? But, like, North Korea did some missile tests. Where was that? Can't see it, but North Korea did some missile tests that landed in the Sea of Japan, i.e. the sea in between Korea and Japan. They did some big tests there, but North Korea, do that from time to time. It's a bit provocative, isn't it? Although the South Koreans do relatively provocative military exercises as well. Okay, the Chinese news, the Xinhua network. Same as nearly every other day, pretty bland, ultra-pro Xi stories. Xi replies to veterans of Zimbabwe's National Liberation War. China's cross-border trips hit 697 million in 2025, setting higher record. China's central businesses, like the state-owned enterprises, China's central state-owned enterprises keep research and development spending above 1 trillion yuan for 4 straight years. China's Greater Bay Area airport cluster ranks among top aviation hubs globally in 2025. You get the idea. It's just an endless slew of, we're brilliant, how good are we? There you go. China, that Starmer sees no real difference between the United States and China. It will treat them equally. They should be equal partners with us. All right, the Ruskies, what the Russians saying. Zelensky wants to disrupt peace talks with terrorist attacks against civilians, says a diplomat. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Who is really holding up peace in the Ukraine? Who's really, like, the party that's refusing to sit down and sign something? Both sides say it's the other side, right? I think for a lot of the last year or more. I might be wrong about this, by the way. But for the last year or more, I think it has been the Russian side saying, no, there's no need for us to stop. It's not in our interest to stop at this point. We're winning. We're going to achieve all our war goals. And until that's happened, no, we're not going to sit down. I think that's been the case. Now, right now, though, I think it's maybe 50-50. It may even be the Ukrainians that are sort of stalling. I mean, that news story, but it is a Russian news story, of course, so take that with a giant tablespoon of salt. But I think both sides at various points during this conflict have been reluctant to come to the peace table, because, of course, it takes two to tango, right? So I really just hope that it can be ended as soon as possible, because not just Ukrainian soldiers and civilians, but Russian soldiers and civilians as well. Because according to Trump, anyway, according to lots of reports, it's a very bloody conflict. In the ballpark of tens of thousands die every month in that conflict. So it's one of those conflicts that every day it goes on. Every day, every hour almost that it goes on, people are dying that needn't die. So, well, 77% of you at least agree with me that they should get round a table and hash something out. Whether that will actually stop the killing on the ground. Because that part of eastern Ukraine has been a conflict zone, even long before the actual war itself formally kicked off. So, all right, what else have we got? 5 killed in fire in Russia's Siberian region. There's a big fire out in Siberia. Trump says major US military force is approaching Iran. Fairly interesting that at least the British mainstream print media, there wasn't a dicky bird about that, was there? Nothing. All right, a few minutes left. Should we go straight to skip Germany and France today? Quick space story. I know you like space stories. I love my space stories. Quick story here, just about the NOAA Space Solar Observatory reaches Lagrange Point 1. So that's obviously an artist's impression. But there's a satellite that's going to be studying the sun. And I'm fascinated by the sun. Of course, I'm fascinated by all space things, done segments on space, written articles about various things in space. The sun dictates nearly everything that goes on in our solar system, right? I think the sun dictates our weather patterns on Earth. It's not the only factor, of course. There are loads of... It's an extremely complicated system, our weather on Earth. But a big, big factor in it is the sun, what the sun does. The sun has cycles. The sun has, quote-unquote, weather of its own. And we need to know how all of that works, all the processes and that. The better we understand that, the better for us. So, yeah, this thing has reached its Lagrange point, i.e. the point where it will sort of stay in space relative to the sun and the Earth and just watch it. So that's good. Yeah, any and all new research into the sun is welcome, in my opinion. Good stuff, great stuff. All right, this day in history. It's nearly 9 a.m, so let's have a quick look at this day in history. On the 28th of January, in the year 1521, Holy Roman Emperor Charles V opened the Diet of Worms in Worms, Germany, which lasted until the 25th of May and produces the Edict of Worms, denouncing Martin Luther. The Martin Luther, not to be confused with Martin Luther King Jr. So Charles V, Holy Roman Emperor, was protecting, in essence, Martin Luther. The popes in Rome wanted Martin Luther to come and have a little word with them and the Roman Inquisition, from which he would almost certainly not emerge. And various magnates and the powers that be in Germany, or what became Germany, it wasn't Germany yet. In the 16th century, there is no Germany as such. There's a Holy Roman Empire. And Charles V had been protecting Martin Luther, and eventually a lot of pressure from all different angles was saying you need to do something about him, get him. Well, the whole Catholic world were saying, get him, do him, hand him over, etc., etc., etc. And in the end, there's a whole diet of worms. I won't get into it. It's such a long story. Fascinating story. If anyone who's interested really in European history, medieval European history, look into the life and career of Martin Luther and that whole age. Fascinating stuff. We still live in the repercussions and ripples from all of that, really. And anyway, Charles V denounces Martin Luther. But Martin Luther never is actually turned over to Rome. Martin Luther ends his days peacefully of natural causes. He's never sort of taken to a dungeon and questioned by the Catholic authorities. There you go. Okay. In 1807, London's Pall Mall becomes the first street lit by gaslight. Yeah, Britain's sort of the first in loads and loads and loads and loads of things. Yeah. I know it might sound really, really dull, and I suppose to a lot of people it is, but the history of lighting, you know, gas lighting, arc lights, the light bulb, all of that's interesting to me. I find it's interesting. How we go from a world of darkness before there's any artificial light other than a candle, other than just a bonfire. How we go from that to Edison's light bulb, that you can commercially mass produce light bulbs that last for a while. The story of that, the process of that, I find interesting. A lot of people do. Okay. In 1813, Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, is published by Thomas Egerton in the United Kingdom. I'm not a big fan of Jane Austen and the Pride and Prejudice story. I don't know why. I do like 19th century literature, right? But I don't know why. Doesn't appeal to me, really. I suppose it is a story, ultimately, of, like, a woman getting married. Does a dude like me care about that, really? Now, give me some H.G. Wells. Give me some Jules Verne. Much more interesting. Okay, in 1819, British colonial officer, Stamford Raffles, lands in Singapore. Yeah, the completely uninhabited Singapore, as I understand it. Of course, there's a long and storied history then of us in Singapore, the British in Singapore. Some would characterise it as terrible colonialism, evil British colonialism. Others would say it was an empty bit of land and we turned it into a great shining success. You're welcome. In 1933, the name Pakistan is coined by Chowdhury Arahat Ali and gradually accepted by Muslims in the Indian subcontinent who use it to push for a separate Muslim homeland in South Asia, which they then get in, like, what, the 40s, the late 40s or whatever it is. Yeah. So, yeah, before that, it was just, like, what, Sindh, like the land of Sindh or the Indus Valley. Yeah, the word Pakistan isn't that old. There you go. For your information. In 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger... That sounded like a sarcastic... It wasn't, it was real. The Space Shuttle Challenger explodes 73 seconds after liftoff from Cape Canaveral, killing all 7 crew members, including Christa McAuliffe, who was to be the first teacher in space. Yeah, terrible space disaster up there with sort of Apollo 1. Anyone who doesn't know... Harry, you're a young and you're a Zoomer, you might not know. NASA was going to put a normal person, a civilian, in space. It was like this big competition, and finally this teacher, Christa McAuliffe, was picked to go on the shuttle and go up to the International Space Station, or was it just Skylab or Mir or something? She was going to go up into space. And it blew up. Shortly after liftoff, just completely blew up. All her friends and family, her mum and dad, are standing there watching. All right, very sad, the Space Shuttle Challenger. Okay, let's do some Super Chats, or all the Super Chats. What have we got? Let's have a look here. We've got a Rumble Rant for $10. Patrid says, so a Labour government sends a guy off to war and then a Labour lawyer hounds him in court for killing somebody. Yeah, yeah, exactly that, yeah. Yes. Travesty, isn't it, really? Okay, YouTube Super Chats. Mr. Gently Benevolent says, another fine day to crack open a bottle of wine and have dinner with Dade, because he's on the other side of the world. Suppose the missus can have a glass as well. That's very generous of you. It's very benevolent of you. Allow the missus to have a glass. One glass. Don't get carried away, love. So Jukes 149 says, tax, the price you pay for living in a kleptocracy. Yeah. I've got some libertarian leanings, particularly economically. I think most tax is theft, state-sponsored theft. I'm not 100% against 100% of taxes, but most taxes. In both Britain, I would look at getting rid of 90 plus, 95% of taxes across the board, in every way, shape or form. You know, I would. Your economy would almost certainly boom. The people would be richer. It's a very broad thing. I've studied a bit of political economy at postgraduate level, so it's not just complete scatterbrained, harebrained nonsense. Lots of serious economists would agree with that. Okay. Noble Johnny Kelly says, to slurp or not to slurp, that is the question. Bring back the slurp. Nothing wrong with occasional slurp of morning tea on the mic. Okay. And bring back the slurp to breakfast with Beau. A poll, please. Okay, maybe tomorrow. How about that, Harry? Tomorrow we can do a poll. How disgusted are you by audible slurps or something like that? Do you want me to slurp into the mic? Surely most people wouldn't want that. But I appreciate that anyway. That's funny. That's funny to me. Yeah, lean into the slurp. Be who you are. Keep it real. Fortean Barber says, this is a local church for local people. You won't get that, Harry. That is a reference to the League of Gentlemen, which you said was before your time. But yeah, the new Archbishop of Canterbury looks like Tubbs from the League of Gentlemen. And she used to run a local shop for local people, and that's how she'd say it. A local shop for local people. You're saying it's a local church for local people. Very funny. League of Gentlemen is great. If you haven't seen it, never heard of it, check it out. Find it on it's hilarious. They wouldn't make anything like that anymore. It's really un-PC and even like sinister. It's a comedy, a sketch show. Check it out. All right. They didn't pay me to say that, by the way. Okay. Global Church History says, Fisher's true history of the American Revolution is thorough, Brit-friendly, loyalist-inclusive, and free on archive. Might be fun to cover. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. I've done a fair bit of content on the American Revolution. It was the history of the American Revolution, yeah. On both on my own channel, History Bro, and on my history-themed show behind the paywall on Lotus Eaters, Epochs, Beau Day's Epochs. I've talked all about the American Revolution a couple of different times. In conversation with Benjamin Boyce, the great Benjamin Boyce. Did long-form stuff about the war, about Jefferson, about Alexander Hamilton. Various stuff. A few hours worth of content of me talking about the American Revolutionary War or the War of Independence. If you're interested in that, if you want to hear hours of me talking about that, that's out there. It's possible to get your hands on that. Okay, and finally, the Field Marshal Dawn Browning. Wait, doesn't say anything and just gives $5. Thank you very much, Dawn. Okay, that's the show. It is now 9:08 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Wednesday the 28th of January in the year of our Lord 2026. You have been watching The Beau Show, Breakfast with Beau. You are the glorious band, the chosen few. Thank you for tuning in. Without you, it isn't really a thing, is it? So try and make the best of the day ahead, if you can. I know it's not always possible. But carpe diem, seize the day if you can. And until tomorrow morning then, take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.